Hey! You know, my daughter the other day said, "Why are you so loud in the morning?"
My wife says that all the time.
And I said, "I don't think I'm loud. I think I'm just normal, and it's loud to you because you're not a morning person." And she goes, "I can always hear you downstairs with Dr. Josh." I said, "He's only on once a week on Thursdays now." And I said, "You're gone to school by the time he comes on." But she remembers when you were coming in like at 6:30 or 7 o'clock, and we were waking him up. And
can I ask you a question about your ex-wife?
Yeah.
Did your ex-wife think you talked loud? You know what I mean?
She would always say that I had a big personality.
No.
No, I know, but
Oh,
that
okay.
encompassed, you know, walking in the room, being a little loud, boisterous, taking control of the audience, and a lot of that was insecurity. I mean, when you get up there on stage,
No, I'm not talking
you
about
got
that.
the demand. So I automatically, even if it's one person, I demand your attention. And so sometimes I'll be a little loud to start.
Okay.
Hey!
Yeah, because you know my wife.
Yeah.
I mean, my wife thinks I talk way too loud all the time.
You don't talk loud at all.
No, see, but that's because it's for you.
Yeah.
That's why I was asking you. Because with my wife, it's like I'd start talking, and she's like, "Bring it down." I'm like,
Maybe.
"Bring it down."
Sometimes my ex would tell me to use my bedroom voice.
Okay.
But I was like, we don't ever do that bedroom thing anymore, so I don't know
At
what
least
that
she was
voice
telling you
is.
that. Mine
You're
tells
telling
me.
me to use my bedroom voice, but I haven't used my bedroom voice for 7 years, then I don't know what that is anymore.
Well, at least that's better. I get told to use my inside voice,
Yeah.
like I'm 12.
Like you're 12.
Let's use our inside voice. The studio door is about to open.
No, that's Santo going to school.
Oh, okay.
Good boy. Today is the 21st of April. It's a Thursday. You got a monster show. We'll talk about the Ed and Fred benefit later on tonight. We also have our Fox 6 hit. We'll talk about TikTok today. I
love
that story.
I think it is not true.
No, I think it is true.
I think it is not true.
Well,
I think it's a temporary shift. It's a, you know what it is? It is. We'll talk about it. It's a checking. It's the whole, you know, checking back.
Yeah, it's a correction.
It's a correction. I don't think it's
Even
a.
Even my 10-year-old told me about, I said, "We're going to talk about TikTok this year." She goes, "I don't really want TikTok anymore. I'm kind of over it." I said, "You know what this is like? This is like an adult who gets a new game.
Yeah.
You know, we get Wordle, or Wordscape, or Crossy Road. I'm in a solitaire lately, which is really bizarre because
okay,
I haven't played solitaire. Like, I know
that's not good psychologically.
That's a dementia thing. It's just like mindless crap. And so we get into it for like a week and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just like, every time you sit down or waiting for the bus stop or whatever, you're on it. And then you get tired of it because you just blow it out. And you're competing with other people, and then all of a sudden you're kind of out. And so kids are much, from a maturity standpoint, much more behind us in that aspect. And so they stay on it longer, but then they get burned out.
No, see, I think it's very different. See, I think they're ahead of us. Because think about it. I know many people, I will not mention their names, who are age roughly.
Yeah.
Are now, it's not that they're discovering TikTok, it's not like it's discovering it. Now they're using it. Now they're engaging with it comfortably. Our kids, and with this article, are already moved on.
Yeah.
Like I feel like it's still.
So what are they moving on to?
I don't know. See, that's what I mean. It's gonna be some scary shit.
Because
I don't
know. You
don't think something will pop up?
No, but what I loved about that story was the majority of people or kids
yeah.
that are on it. Said it's a waste of time.
Yes.
They realized that once they deleted it, they were
yeah.
like, "I didn't really miss it." I'm like, "There you go."
Yeah.
That's good.
There's going to be some of
the
stuff.
It was fun. It's one of these fun little things. Took some time up, and then you realize you start spending more time on it. And I'll give you some really fascinating numbers when we do this
okay.
on Fox 6. But the average Facebook user, how many minutes a day do you think they're on it? This is surprising. And it wasn't from Facebook either because it was a lot lower than I thought it was going to be. It is the most used platform
right.
of all social media platforms.
Well, because
and it basically doubles Instagram, which is the second longest platform.
30 minutes a day.
About 33 minutes a day, which I don't know anyone that's on Facebook that only uses it 33 minutes a day.
Oh, I do. Like, I'm on it a lot, but I bet you because I'm on it and then I'm off. It's
yeah.
it's 2 minutes and then it's out.
Like when we do Facebook Live.
Well, that doesn't count.
Well, sure it does because it averages out. But what I'm saying is when I get on here every morning, there's roughly, and I have 4,900 friends.
Yeah.
And there are roughly 500 people that are live out of my 5,000 that are on there.
Right.
And it's the same people every single day. And I love that. Don't get me wrong.
Well, making sure you're okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same people every single morning that are live on it. And it's kind of like, so people, so in other words, it's part of their routine. And I don't think social media should be part of your routine.
Oh, I do.
If you're a business, for you, yes. No. But you are in danger land. You are. You use social media. You're doing it from a business standpoint. Yes. You have a lot invested in it, so you feel like you need to. But you post a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm too busy to talk. And then I see an Instagram post. I'm like, if you're too damn busy.
Well, that's scheduled. Scheduled.
Yeah. Well, there's another reason. When you have to schedule your post,
that's why I have scheduling.
It's a problem.
Scheduling for it.
It's a problem. It's a little overboard.
So here's the other thing. Here's the other thing.
How many things do you post a day? Honestly.
No, honestly, no more than, let's see, one, two. No more than two.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, if you count across platforms, three, because I don't post daily on Twitter. Yeah. I'll comment on Twitter and then occasionally on LinkedIn.
If you're, again, you're
but mine's not like...
You're a helper, you're a psychologist, and you're there to help. But I mean, for people that are just posting whatever it is, to have a routine, on Facebook every morning at 7:30 is an eye-opener to me. It's a head-scratcher.
No, see, I don't think so. It's like reading the morning newspaper. So I'll tell you this.
We don't know what these people are.
Like, here's how I get my news in the morning, and a lot of people do this. Twitter. I get up in the morning and instead of going to a page, I'm scrolling through Twitter and I'm scrolling through, you know, the Twitter search part, and I kind of have my things I'm following, and you know, maybe I'll stop and read an entire article, but it's like my way of going, okay, here's what's happened overnight.
Yeah.
And I do it in the same way that we would read a newspaper. I look at news, I look at current events, I look at sports, entertainment, you know, so it's...
Fair enough.
It's a different way.
No, and a lot of people get their news. I think 32% of the people said they get their news from Facebook.
Yeah.
But it's really difficult to get into a platform like that to go for a specific purpose and then not get it. And that's what Facebook wants you to do. They want you to spend as often as long as you possibly can. And next thing you know, you're scrolling through stories and stories of things that aren't newsworthy.
Right. See, TikTok is worse at that. I've watched. My wife has become a scroller. Now it's controlled.
Yeah.
She doesn't do it at all. You know, when she's unwinding and she's not reading a book or whatever, and one of the problems with living with somebody who's scrolling on TikTok is that you're catching the audio blurbs.
Yeah.
And it's weird.
Yeah, because you don't need to stop and tap it again.
It's just going and you're getting these little bits of content but it is addicting.
It is addicting.
It's engaging. I've said this all along. I understand the negative effects. I mean, I understand the research. I get it. I get it. I have yet personally to come to the conclusion that it's bad or we shouldn't have it. Like, I still believe that the value of it outweighs the negative effects. I
totally agree with you, but for anything, you said the word addicting, you said that.
Sure.
For anything that is addicting or could be addictive, moderation is a key here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's super important.
But that's anything.
Yeah. No, you can exercise. No, not everything's addicting.
What? What's not?
Cutting grass is not addicting. Oh, sure. You just like to cut grass.
What if you...
There are different properties chemically in your brain.
What if you have to cut grass every week? Not have to. Not have to, meaning the grass is growing, right? Mm-hmm. So we know a lot of people. I'm sort of one of those people.
Yeah.
I got to go cut the grass.
Yeah.
And Jules will be like, no, you don't have to cut the grass. It's fine. No, I got to cut it.
Well, that's part of your personality, too.
Well, you know why?
Yeah.
It's because Matt's cutting his grass across the way.
As soon as your neighbors start cutting the grass, you got to cut the grass. Some headlines today. Did you watch The Masked Singer last night?
No.
After the last night's unveiling of The Masked Singer, Ken Jeong walked off the stage. It was Rudy Giuliani.
Oh, yes. Oh, I didn't realize
it aired. He actually recorded the show back in February because of all the stuff with Trump and all that stuff.
So last night was when it aired.
They thought that it would hit the editing room floor and they would not air it just because they didn't want to go there. And Ken Jeong was like, I'm out.
Yeah.
So that happened last night. Johnny Depp, the Amber Heard trial continues.
Yeah, I've been watching that.
I'm over that. Look, they both beat the shit out of each other.
That's exactly what's
like. The judge needs to go, you beat him up, she beats you up. Get out of here.
This morning is...
He's suing her for $50 million. Right. She re-suing her for $100 million. We don't care. Go make some good movies so we can go watch something on the big screen. Get out of here.
He was showing the scars on his hand from the vodka bottle that she threw. I don't know why I'm laughing. It's not funny, but...
No.
Yeah.
They were perfect for each other.
Yes.
Jay Wright, the Villanova head coach. 60 years old.
Does he remind you of Pat Riley?
A little bit.
I mean, not in the look. He just has that...
The hell of a coach.
Well-dressed man. Yep. Great coach. I don't know.
Fordham coach Kyle Neptune will be taking over at Villanova. So a little bit of a surprise in that he was 16-16 last year. And also that 52% of all vegans and vegetarians won't even consider doing this. What is it?
I don't know. My wife's vegan.
You're a lucky man. 52% in a recent survey, and we'll get into the story a little later on the show, won't even consider dating a meat eater.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Vegans, I get it. I understand it psychologically.
You won't date a person just because of what they eat?
Yeah, because being a vegan for some people,
it's a lifestyle.
For some people, like not for everybody, I mean, my wife didn't divorce me.
If you're a meat eater and you're fit and you work out and you take care of yourself, which is what a lot of vegans do because they want to watch their weight and everything.
No, yeah.
In most cases. Mm-hmm. They're health conscious.
Yes, yes. Very often.
So if you're with some fat dude as a meat eater, I get because they're not health conscious. But if you're with another person who's very health conscious, but they eat a good balanced diet, then why wouldn't you
You're talking about dating, not marrying.
Yeah.
I think that's very
interesting. You can't marry unless you date.
I know, but I'm saying to start off with, you're sort of starting off. It's that idea we've talked about this on other shows of we're starting off on two very different trajectories. So I'd want to inquire.
That's like a Democrat saying they won't date a Republican.
Well, although it's more benign.
Yeah.
Well,
here's the real question: is would you act like you're a vegetarian just to get in a woman's pants?
Yeah, ton of guys would, which is stupid. Because then at some point, and if you're going to switch over to meat.
Yeah. You see the dude on Fox News, he's got a show late at night. What's his name? James Waters? What's his name? James Waters? Waiters? Well, I don't know. It's some guy on Fox, anyway, admitted a couple nights ago that while he was married, and while this other woman he worked with was married, he took the air out of her tires out in the parking lot to entice her to invite him to give her a ride home, and that's how they met and they ended up getting married.
Sicko.
Yeah, he was like, and he was joking about it, and I was like, pretty smart.
No, that...
Well, I mean, there's a lot... Guys will do a lot of crazy things to get
terrible. To That's terrible.
Yeah, they will create a situation...
That's horrible.
...where she needs him.
That's terrible.
Yeah, he took the...
No, that's... Listen to what you said. He's married, she's married. He took the air out of her tires, so he'd go home. That's pathetic.
They're happily married.
Who's happily... Oh, they're happily married now.
Yeah.
Oh. Obviously, they weren't, neither were happily married then.
No.
Is that what she said? She's like, you know, I remember the day I fell in love with you. It's when you took the air out of my tires.
Girls, if you're in a parking lot and all of a sudden you have a flat tire and it was just perfectly fine 10 minutes ago, and a guy comes up to you immediately and says, it looks like you have a flat tire. Can I help you?
Leave.
He took it out. So what'd you do on the 420 yesterday? Did you get stoned?
What?
Yesterday was 420.
Oh, it was.
See, 420 is not special anymore because everyone's getting stoned.
Yeah.
They had a big festival in Denver yesterday, the 420.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting, you know, now it's like a wine festival.
Yeah.
Right?
It was great. The Denver City Council?
They all got
something,
stoned.
Someone posted something on Twitter yesterday about the big 420 festival. And
yeah.
And it's open again, obviously, because we don't have COVID anymore.
Right now. It's gone.
And, talked about make sure you don't roll your own. I mean, it was pushing the envelope. And then what it basically looked like, it was everyone showing up at this festival was going to just be able to smoke dope. You still can't smoke marijuana in public in Denver, in Colorado. In the state of Colorado, you cannot smoke in public. You can smoke in your home. You can smoke in, and it's legal.
Well, it's like, isn't it,
you can't walk around through a park smoking a joint.
Right, but is that the same as, you know, I don't know, places, what's it called? You can't, in every place, you can't walk around with an open container.
Exactly.
It's no different.
Yeah. It's hard to believe back in our day when we used to get a spring break, you could drink in cars.
Well, you're older than me. You can't.
Not much.
I know. I don't think you can
go to six. Used to be able to cruise down.
You cannot where I live.
Or Lauderdale and be sitting in the car.
Not where I live.
And the driver could have an open container.
Well, that's because you're over here. I'm over in the West Coast. Yeah. You could not do that.
Wow. All right. So I pulled a list of famous people who like to get high. You want to hear them?
Bella Thorne and Bill Mayer.
Snoop Dogg, obviously, on this. Willie Nelson. Martha Stewart smokes. Did you realize that?
That's because of Snoop Dogg.
It could be. Pete Davidson, Morgan Freeman, says he smokes dope almost every day because of his fibromyalgia. Rihanna, Elon Musk, who'll be taking over Twitter soon. Jennifer Lawrence, Woody Harrelson, Susan Sarandon likes to get high every day.
Okay.
Lady Gaga, Jesse Ventura, Mike Tyson, and Jane Fonda likes to smoke dope.
You surprised about any of them?
No.
No.
Some of the older people, I probably, just
no,
a little bit.
No.
Jane Fonda smoking dope?
Yeah.
It's a little weird. Morgan Freeman?
You got fibromyalgia, yeah.
God smoking dope?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's because of fibromyalgia. Yeah. I have cataracts.
No, well, I mean, You know, one of the things that I'm seeing a lot, again, we live in a place, we live where it's not legal. And it's really interesting to me when I talk.
And I don't think it'll ever be legal.
No, we can't even get yoga legal. Yeah. So I mean, like, but I have many clients on the West Coast, and it's really interesting, Tony. It's not just smoking. You know, they'll talk about edibles, for example.
Yeah.
And I've got a couple clients who've got young kids, and you know they're in that stage where the kids are everywhere, and life's just like la 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 all over the place. And they talk about, you know, look, before a party, before they go to a party, take some edibles, take some gummies. Or when they come back from the party, take some gummies, edibles. And it's like, when I hear them telling me that, there's this weird part of my brain that's like, you got a problem. Like something.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if they told me, I get home, you know, get home from the party and have a beer.
Yeah.
No, that's fine.
Yeah.
It's just, I think for so many of us, it's like we cannot embrace, and maybe it's because we came from the generation where we did it, but it wasn't legal.
Yeah.
To hear that to listen to people talk about it as if it's no different than having a beer, glass of wine, it's exactly the same. And I think, at least for me, I've got these visions of just getting baked, and they're not.
Yeah.
And they're and a lot of times I get asked, what do you think? Not so much what do you think, but that's what I do, and that's how I relieve my stress. And again, there's a part of me that's like screaming no. Then there's another part of me that's like, well, if you told me you had a glass of wine at the end of the day, be okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
But is it next going to be shrooms? You know, like I'm not going on a 4-day bender. Just gonna have a little release time.
I don't know. We've been doing this forever, but we are now in a situation where we're always looking for an escape.
I know.
And you know, I came from the generation of Wakers and Bakers, the frozen peas in the freezer. I knew guys that couldn't wait to get in their car on the way home to roll a joint, smoking on the way home.
Yes.
That's an eye opener for me. It's like, okay. Can you wait till you get home? I can't wait.
Yeah, well, that's the difference.
Before they even pee in the morning, they're filling their bong, right? And so, you know, when you're talking about something that's got an addictive property to it.
Yeah, I know. But so does alcohol.
I'm not going to sound like the old man here. You just got to be careful. You just got to be careful. And again, there are so many different rules and regulations from state to state. Mm-hmm. What's legal, what's not legal, what's recreational, what's medicinal, blah, 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 mm-hmm. blah, blah. I am pleasantly surprised, and I say pleasantly just because I think it's commonplace now, and this is your reading the room cultural phenomena. Right. How many people are saying they do it? But I mean, again, just because Morgan Freeman has a couple chewables and smokes a joint every night doesn't mean that everyone should do it or everyone can handle it.
I agree.
It's Morgan Freeman. He's got more money than God. Doesn't matter what happens to him outside him going to prison. He can do whatever the hell he wants. But that doesn't mean if you're a 22-year-old going to your Amazon job this morning, you can eat 5 gummies and you're going to make it. And quite frankly,
here we go.
Here come the glasses.
These are good.
I'm 56 years old. There ain't nothing I haven't done. I've been around all of it.
Yep.
And I went over that cliff 3 years ago. I understand it. And so I'm not going to push or be prejudiced towards anyone. That what you do what you want to do, that's fine. But I've been around too many people that get too comfortable because they have a routine of doing whatever they do. Mm-hmm. And I know that over a period of time, two beers doesn't turn into be enough. And then it turns into three. Then it turns into four. I've seen it happen a million times. There are a lot of people that can control it. There's a lot of people that can't.
Yeah.
And so at some point, whatever your routine is, that one glass of wine turns into two glasses of wine, turns into three glasses of wine, turns into a bottle of wine.
For some people.
For some people.
Right, because there's a lot of people who enjoy, they don't even have it every night, right? Yeah. They go out and they have a bottle of wine or they have a beer. And they craft their own beer. Like, that's the thing that's just really interesting to me. I mean, that is exactly where you saw my buddy who made the video for my son when he turned 21.
Yeah.
He is what I would call a cannabis connoisseur.
It depends on why you're doing it.
Absolutely.
I couldn't go to a concert, a ball game, anything without getting a beer. The first thing I'd do wherever I went, hell, a funeral. Yeah. If someone was serving beer out of the back of a car, I would drink a beer. Now, you have to ask yourself the question, why? If it's a supplementary situation where it adds to your evening, relaxes your bones and your muscles, and you want to chill out, that's great. That's super. But do you feel the need, I can't go to this concert because I can't get blasted, I can't have a drink, or
is
there going to be marijuana there? No. Well, then I'm not going to go.
That's how we diagnose it, right?
There you go.
That's exactly
how we diagnose it. So if it's something that is a necessity,
then it doesn't work.
Then you got a problem. Right. But if it's a supplementary thing, I mean, good Lord Almighty, I can't think of anything I did. I mean, I did bar gigs my entire life, and the first thing I do was get a Jack and Coke or a Budweiser, and it added to my evening. But then I got to that point where I had, I think I had beer there? No. I think I'm busy that night.
I won't be able to attend that one.
By the way, Dr. Rab Stewart, who does Dark Side of the Pooch on Monday, is a great article. We'll talk about this next Monday. A shocking number of pets are overdosing on weed. Evidently, they're getting into our edibles.
Oh, that's not good.
Dogs aren't smoking joints.
Did you ever go to a party where they blew smoke into the dog's face to watch him get high?
Oh, I saw a friend of mine put his cat in a box and use the box as a bong.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, blowing.
That's like animal cruelty. I'm just talking about blowing some smoke.
The cat liked it.
Well, yeah, it's catnip.
It's not so bad. Wednesday nights are Livewire Wednesday. We did a great show last night. We did all songs by AC/DC with rock or rock and roll in the title. There were at least 22 of them. We played 13 of them. It was great, man. I cannot believe how many songs they have with rock in the title. Brought to you by Southern Precision Staffing for all your staffing needs. 205-682-2828. 205-682-2828. Southern Precision Staffing. They do construction staffing, any type of staffing you need. Kai Greger and his crew do a fantastic job. Later on tonight, we're going to be at Work Play. There will be some drinks. There'll probably be some edibles there, too.
Well, yeah, right.
I'm bad.
Somebody will have
some. I was at a golf tournament a few weeks ago, and they were serving edibles off the 16th green. You could buy them right there on the golf course. I'm like, wow, I'm smoking a cigar. I'm like, yeah. And they were rolling joints, too.
For medicinal purposes?
And it wasn't some dude, like, out of the trunk of his car. He had a tent with signage and all kinds of stuff. I'm like, what the hell? You could smell it from the 14th. I was like, I smell dope. I smell weed.
They're
like, oh, yeah, number 16.
Has it been legalized? We just missed it?
You're on a golf course, man.
Kay Ivey's trying to get reelected.
You think Kay Ivey's ever smoked dope?
Oh, yeah.
You think so?
Well, she's already got in trouble for blackface.
Yeah. My dad was a big anti-drug guy.
Yeah.
And now he'd get drunk. Now he'd drink.
Right, because that's not drugs.
No. Well, it's legal, too. I mean, he'd have himself a cocktail now. But he was really anti-drugs, and there were one person in my family that liked to smoke dope a lot, and he smokes dope with his kids, which is a different topic for a different day. And my dad had cancer, and so this person was like, you should smoke a joint and make you feel better. It brings back your, and he was like, no, I'm not. And then towards the end of his life, he actually tried it a couple times, and he really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Because it made him feel better.
Like, you're 82 years old to get stoned. I mean,
well, but you don't have to get stoned. I mean, that's the whole idea of medicinal.
Well, I know. I said get stoned. I mean, at this point, you're 82. Okay. Get high as shit. We'll drive
you home. Yeah, but then a lot of people get high, and it scares the crap out of them. It's a whole control thing.
Man, I had one night I was, I was 19, and we used to work at a radio station in Hamilton, Ohio. We called it High on the Hill because it was way up on the High on the Hill, and everyone in the station would get stoned. And I wasn't anti-drugs. I just didn't do it. I was 19, and so I was the runner. So I was a guy that would run down the bottom of the hill, get a case of beer, and get the box of joints for everyone else to get stoned. And little did I know that I could have gone to prison for it, but I was impressionable, and I'd do whatever it took to get ahead in the business. And one night, I took a couple tokes from something. I remember driving home, and I felt like, it wasn't scary, but I felt like the road...
Yeah.
It was the weirdest. I felt like the road was like 10 miles above the earth. And I remember looking over the side of the road thinking, man, if I drive off this thing, I'm dying, you know? And it was like one of those animated Anchorman things where all of a sudden everything's animated. I'm riding a unicorn. And I was like, whoa, it was the wildest thing in the world.
You were hot.
I was stoned as a rat. You put me in a box and smoked me. It was great. So anyway, later on tonight, the Ed and Fred Memorial, it's for Fred Foster, passed away a couple months ago, and I wanted to mention this because Tommy Williams, a good friend of mine, we're having it down at Work Play. If you've ever seen Ed and Fred, they are identical twins. They're in their 60s. Fred passed away, and so we're going to have a big party for him tonight, so we'll have some drinks. We'll probably have some edibles out in the parking lot. Probably not, I'm just kidding. And we will have a big celebration of his life tonight. Doors open at 4:30, bars open at 4:30. Live entertainment with Cashback. The Magic City Disco Dancers will be there, and also Eric Waters will be playing. It's no cover, free. There's going to be all kinds of artwork down there, and we'll remember the life of Fred Foster later this afternoon, so I'll be down there hosting that night down at Work Play. I'll get down around 6 o'clock. My daughter's got a dance thing for 6 o'clock, so... we'll also be on Fox 6 in just about an hour this morning at 9:30 this morning talking about TikTok and why the kids are getting into it. So we'll talk about that coming up in a few minutes. Happy birthday to Tony Danza today.
63.
71. Yeah, I know, right? I was like, what?
He's so youthful looking.
He still looks good.
Yeah. Like, I'm not going to look that good at 71. He looked well, I didn't look that good when I was 70.
And you know,
how old's John Stamos? Is he like...
He's 57, something, 58, something like that, isn't he?
Charles
Davis. Yeah.
Okay.
He's not that old, is he?
I don't know. Still got hair.
And the Queen today.
It's her birthday? Yes. Did you see that? She's 96.
She's 96.
She had COVID?
She did.
Her husband. There was a picture someone posted on Twitter of her with her two white ponies or horses.
Yeah.
And they, I don't know what kind of horses are, but they have long flowing hair. And it was the most, like, British, iconic. Do you like the Queen?
Yeah, I think she's badass. I think she's been
she
through a lot of crap.
She pulls off the derby hats.
She's been through a lot of crap. And I have a huge amount of respect for anyone that lives past 90.
That's exactly.
You got to be badass to make it past 90.
Yep.
And she's still holding it together, man.
Yeah.
She's still doing business. She still drives, for God's sakes.
Well,
on Lexus, but
she drives on the property.
Yeah.
Don't let her drive in public. Yeah. That's what they do.
I still can't get over William Shatner being 90. I
can.
I was watching The Unexplained the other night, which is a great show. It's on the History Channel. For 90, man, I mean, he looks fantastic for 90. It's like, what in the... I mean, he's a little overweight, wears the black jacket, but 90 years old is... 90 years old is old.
I know.
And he's still getting after it. He's still doing TV. Guy looks... I mean, he's blowing Betty White away right now.
Oh, it's Betty. She's 100.
She was 100, but I mean, I'm like,
can you imagine that?
I look at him. I'm going, there's no way he's 90 years old. He looks too damn good for 90 years old.
He's had some work done.
I don't. Well, it's really good work.
Yeah, no, it is good work.
And the fact that he's still doing television at 90.
Yes. Well, Betty White.
I mean, and he's talking normal. It's not slurry. He doesn't need to change his colostomy bag during commercial breaks or anything. The dude, I'm like,
well, we don't know.
Shit.
We don't know that. They could be.
Yeah, I mean, there could be. It could be taking 8 hours to do a 1 hour episode, but I don't think so.
That is true.
But he's so. Like,
I know.
In the moment, I'm like, wow.
We saw him with the whole space. He did the space thing with Bezos.
I know, right?
And I mean, that's one where I was like, to me, that was a testament to his resiliency, right? Because, like, that, when we were watching that, if you're 90 and you're not in great shape, like, that'll knock you on your ass.
Yeah.
So I was watching when he came down. I wanted to sort of see, you know, and people were, I thought it was really interesting. Because people were sort of like, you know, holding his elbows just to like make sure he was okay. He was fine.
No, he was good.
It was Bezos who messed the whole thing up.
He was great. Also on this date, 6 years ago, do you remember where you were when Prince died?
I wasn't.
I wasn't either. It was a shocker.
Oh, it was a total shock. I just wasn't in a place.
That I can remember. Lady Di, I remember. There's a bunch of them. I remember where exactly the car chase. I remember all this stuff. But I don't. But still, that was one of those. What? Because Prince was one of those guys 6 years ago today, 2016, he died.
Wow.
Prince was still one of those dudes that I really thought that he had his shit together.
Yeah.
Like he had gotten through the early stages of his life. He always had a posse around him. He would not do interviews unless he had a lot of people around him, which told me that he was either incredibly insecure, which a lot of rock and rollers are, or that he had a good group of people around him to make sure he was doing the right thing. He had flu-like symptoms several weeks before. We know there was some type of emergency landing, something he had in his plane. But he was one dude that I thought he had it together enough that he was not.
He's iconic. He's Michael Jackson iconic.
Yeah.
I was going to say in a different way, but not even.
Yeah.
See, and then I go back, put up that video. I'm sorry. I posted last night on Facebook. Sorry, that's an extra post.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, you know, Tom Petty and Eddie Vedder.
Uh-huh.
But like that, what is the video of the All-Star
Jam? Do you ever look at your usage to see how often you're on social media platforms?
I know.
By the end of the show, you should do it. And you should divulge out because it will blow your socks.
I'm probably on hours at a time. Hours per day. But I'm on same sort of thing.
Hours a day.
But I am back and forth. Like I'm all over social media platforms.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So I'm on Twitter. I'm on LinkedIn.
Yep.
I'm using them for purposes.
Your purpose is being?
Depends what it is. To make a statement.
Or is it maybe to make you feel good?
No, it's not to make me feel good. Yeah. I don't do it to
everyone feels good when they post something on Facebook.
So here's what here is the
it's okay. That's
no,
why
it's not.
We use
here's
it.
here is where I've had to pare it back.
Yeah.
My personal Facebook page
is
where I have a tendency. I am that guy who, without some filtering from my family, yelling at me, cursing at me, telling me to take that GD picture down or we'll kill you.
Yeah.
I would be the guy. I don't post meals, like, for whatever reason. Like, I don't really care. But I am the guy who goes, I did it this weekend. I was fishing.
Yeah.
Here's my fish.
Yes, sure.
And I would do much more of that. My family's like, no more deer. Please, Dad, don't put any more deer up there.
You play squirrel videos up?
No, I got told I can't do that anymore. See, in the squirrel videos...
See, those are good. Those
well,
are
those
fun.
Now, those are not just... See, to me, that is art. Because I have spent way too many hours late at night editing those things together.
Yeah.
That's very different. But yes, I like way too many hours.
Way too many hours.
Jules is like, what are you doing? Stop!
Doing squirrel videos.
I'm doing squirrel videos, and I'm about to drop in some audio underneath the squirrel. Wait! I'm slowing it. But I am the guy who would post a lot on my personal Facebook page of just stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm looking for. To be honest with you, if we're going to analyze me, I don't know what I'm looking for. I don't really feel like I want people to tell me I'm great. That's not what it is. It's this like, I want to share with you my life. I don't know why. I'm really not looking for likes. I'm not. I mean, I post stuff on my personal Facebook page that just, I'm a Jewish guy from the Valley. I'm a talker and a sharer. And, you know, you're a hugger.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about everything that we did.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know why. I just feel like it's really cool to be able to share my emotion or my emotional experience with you. Even when it's not an extreme high or low.
And why do you think that's important? Again, you're getting something out of people or on social media because it feels good.
Yeah.
To post things. We all post things that we're like, this is going to get a lot of attention.
See, but I'm not doing that. I really am not.
But you have.
No, I know, but I'm saying when I post on my personal page, I'm really not, I'm 100% honest. I am not in my mind saying this is going to get.
Yeah.
It is much more of, wow, this was what a great moment, or I had this really personal epiphany when I looked at this picture of my whatever. I wanted to share it with people. Well, just do.
Yeah. I think it's a relevancy thing, too. I think a lot of people feel relevant when they're out there.
Yeah.
A lot of people know I'm out there, and that makes you feel good. You need to let people know you're okay. You need to let people know my life is good. You know, if you don't post things for a few days, you're kind of like, and I'll be honest with you, if you can go 2 or 3 days without posting something, sometimes it feels pretty, it's like forgetting your cell phone at home. There's nothing you can do about it. It feels pretty damn good to know that you don't have that because there's nothing you can do about it. But there's a lot of people, again, when I scroll through Facebook, and again, I got 5,000 friends, so I'm seeing the same responses from the same people.
Right.
And I'm even like, do these people know all these people? Because if they're on your feed, a lot of times you'll follow someone if they follow you first.
Right.
And you may not even know who they are. And they're posting a picture of their grandma.
Yeah.
Or happy anniversary to my wife.
There you go.
Or my son just won a baseball championship.
Exactly.
And I'm kind of like,
I know. But see, I don't.
Okay.
I know that people feel the same way stuff.
It's a backpatting thing. It's
just, no.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of it's backpatting.
Sure. You know what it is?
That's why we like things. No. We don't respond to them. We just like them. A nice picture. Well, I'm going to post it. Mike Dubberly posted a picture of his lasagna. That looks delicious. It makes us feel good to let us know, let him know that I'm thinking about him.
What is it for work purposes? Yeah. It is.
We should ask him about that.
Let's ask him today.
It's the last time he posted a picture.
He hasn't been posting food much.
And that's the other thing is I think we go through these.
Yeah.
Like we'll talk about.
Me and my beer.
You go through these phases where you really get into something. And then if you're like me, when the memories page comes up, I'll go, what the? And it was from 2 years ago. I'm like, what the hell was I thinking 2 years ago? Why did I post that? Do you do that?
Yeah.
You ever post something and you're like, I can't believe I posted
this. What was I thinking?
What was I doing? Was I an emotional wreck that day? Or
why I had to pull the deer off.
What was it that I thought? Because here's the deal. There's a lot of people that post things that know they're going to post them before they actually do the thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, because it's become a part
of the problem.
Well, it's a part. It's
Or are you doing something in order to post? In other words, I want to do this so I can post it.
Yeah, let's get over here. This is going to be a great shot.
Yeah.
All right, stand on your head. All right, hang on.
Or will you create something?
Right.
That's what TikTok's all about. Let's create something so we can put it on TikTok.
Yes.
Or is it something that you've already done or you're doing and you're thinking, okay, that would be good on social media or that would be good to share with people?
I don't do that. I'm not doing that one. Mine's after the fact.
Hell, I know people that will scroll through their phone and just look at old pictures just for stuff to post.
Yeah, I do that.
Okay, why?
Well, old. I'm not old. Yeah, there's got to be meaning. There's got to be meaning behind it. There's got to be meaning. You got to. It's to me. It's the same as getting a tattoo. Same as getting a tattoo. Why are you getting a tattoo? If you say I don't know, then there's no reason to get a tattoo. Why are you posting? Give me a not why in general. Why did you post this?
Maybe I haven't posted something in a while. No. Maybe I think it's again. People post just a ton of things that.
Yeah, well, that's why I don't post
People that just post pictures of themselves in a new dress, I'm going, I don't get it. I'm like...
New clothes?
Or just, you know, if it's a new profile picture, I get it.
Okay.
But, I mean, people just posting a picture, now, if they're at a ball game?
Yeah.
I get it.
Right, because
you're at a special event?
Yes.
I get it.
That's right.
A concert? I get it.
Yep.
Just a picture of you sitting in a bar... With a friend? I don't get it.
Well, maybe it's you and your friend, and you're posting about we had a great time.
I don't even feel comfortable saying, let me take a picture. For example, I had lunch with the president of Urology Centers of Alabama.
Did you do a selfie?
Last Friday. I considered it. I thought, his name is Michael, I thought, I should get a picture of us sitting at this table. Then I started thinking, okay, why am I doing this?
Yeah, because you know, yeah.
First of all, it's me sitting with the president of a company, which makes me look good. It makes me look like I'm engaged.
Well, it makes you look bad.
Wow.
Or it makes you look bad because you took a picture with the president of the company and then you posted it. See, like, that's where I was going.
And I did not post it.
No,
and
yeah.
I didn't even take the picture. Right. I didn't ask to
well,
take
because
the picture.
Well, because, again, that's a... I'm with you. Yeah. And again, there's norms. Like, on a business meeting, I wouldn't take... Like, I wouldn't even think to take a picture with somebody. Now, if you were out... I mean, you were out to lunch, but, like, if you all went out to go see a USFL game, maybe take a picture. You and I take pictures.
You ever get those letters from relatives over the holidays, and they tell you what's happened last year?
Yeah, well, they do it. That's Facebook. We do that.
That's Facebook.
And everybody has shifted
okay,
over
so
there.
Okay, so in that letter, it's not saying, "Oh, by the way, I saw 12 deer in my backyard," or "Oh, by the way, I cooked lasagna last Thursday night," and "Oh, by the way, you know, I went to Talladega with my son this weekend." Good.
Right.
Post it. That's great. That's an event. You're at an event, you're with a lot of other people, but the really dumb shit, oh, I found a hack on how to make a bed.
Well, that's
good. You don't put that in your letter. No, it's not.
Yeah, what if you...
No, it's not. No. You know, if you see a beautiful flower in your backyard, yeah. I sprouted up, but I didn't plant this. I get that. Have something underneath it. It's amazing how life sprouts. seeds in your life. Okay, that I get that. I mean, I'm compassionate.
Okay, so
I'm understanding.
So I can do my deer.
But think about what you would post in a letter to your
yeah.
family about what's going on in your life. And is that, oh, my daughter just bought a new Abercrombie & Fitch shirt. Okay, is that in your damn letter? No. So why are you posting it? So people are posting it. Maybe she's super hot. Maybe it's helping your followers. Think about
it. Now, she bought it while you were on vacation. And you took a picture in front of, you know, some sort of monument. But then you wouldn't say that it was a new shirt.
I really believe
so,
there's a reason the age group of Facebookers, according to the research I saw, and this is recent, the main is 35 to 54-year-olds, right?
Yeah.
And 35 to 54-year-olds, and I'm going to say it's mostly probably on the back end of
yes.
that, are people... that may have more disposable time
yes.
on their hands, and they want to feel relevant because they're on the backside of their careers. Yeah,
this is so psychological.
And
yes.
they
yes.
want people to know that they're out there, and it's a relevancy thing. And
yes.
so they feel the importance of posting anything they can get their hands on to let people know they're out there.
Well, this is my life. This is my life.
Yeah, and the sad thing is the majority of people don't care about your life. And I'm not
no.
being, I'm not being.
But we're all, but see, that's what I think. I feel like it's a group think sort of thing. It's a social norm.
Yeah.
Most people don't care. We know that most people don't care, but we're all out there putting it out there as if to care for ourselves.
And what happens is your group of close-knit friends then.
Stop, they unfollow you because you're.
Feel irritated. Like they have to respond to you.
With a like.
Yeah, I don't remember ever posting something and then going back through all my responses and going, I can't believe he didn't respond.
Yeah, see,
so don't worry about that aspect of it.
Yeah.
But you do see the ones that do respond.
Yeah.
And I see people that respond to everything.
Right. Well, because they got too much
time. Everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I can
it's,
name
well,
them
it's
off
relevant.
I can name off the top of my head. I'm like, why?
It's because it's a connection.
Yeah.
It's. I mean, I don't know that they're lonely people, but it's a need
I think
for connection.
Are. Well, it is, and so my big psychological question to Dr. Josh Claypool would be, why do we feel like we need to be so connected, particularly with people we don't even know?
Because we can. There is a possibility of it. That is what's changed. What's changed with social media, what's changed with the internet, is we have now a portal to the world. The world being somebody thousands of miles away,
yeah,
or somebody 100 miles away, somebody that you, and by the nature of the way we communicate, it takes little to no effort. So again, if you think about it, some of the comments that I might make on somebody's Facebook post, great picture, family looks great, those kinds of things, and it's somebody who's maybe not a very close friend, somebody I know. I would not pick up the phone. Hey, great picture.
Yeah.
Click. So it's given us a way to connect these micro connections, and it is a hit of I am connected to the world.
Yeah.
And for some people, not everybody, but for some people, it becomes their norm. Like, this is how they feel connected. And the thing that scares me sometimes as a psychologist is you then begin to substitute. And that becomes the connection, the response. Somebody likes, you like, you make a comment, and you get this feeling as if I've really truly connected with somebody.
Yeah.
You've heard me say this a lot. You know, they talk about, oh my God, our kids never talk on the phones anymore. They never write anything. It's all texting. Mm-hmm. And I've sort of put myself out there and I've said, what if writing's going away? What if we don't need to write anymore? Oh my God, you can't say that. I don't know. It's called evolution. So one of the things I think is interesting, and I think about this frequently, maybe that does become our normal level of social connection. Not deep intimacy, but the same way that you might call someone up on the phone, we don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, my kids, they're older now, and that's the other thing. We'll talk about the TikTok. Like, I feel like my kids were there. They went through that stage. Now, as they're adults, now they're picking up the phone and calling more than they ever would.
Yeah.
Right? Before, it would always be a text. Now, it's not so, like, maybe it's also a developmental stage.
Yeah. Again, I think it's great that we have social media. I think it's great that people feel that connection. But it's truly a supplemental aspect to our lives. And if you're spending an absorbent amount of time on Facebook to make yourself feel more secure or feel better about being connected, then you're using it the platform wrong.
What if you're not using it what if you're not using it excessively? So you're not like neglecting your job, but you're using it as a substitute for calling somebody. Substitute for social connection. That is your social connection.
Well, I mean, just go back 20 years ago. What were we doing before we had Facebook? How were we connected? Are we better off now being as connected as we are than we were 20 years ago? I can make an argument and say no. Because we had to make
effort.
An effort.
But we had to make effort on all kinds of things. Are we better off?
I had something yesterday, and I'm glad you brought this up, because there's some scam going on Facebook right now. This global fund thing. There's some global fund thing where they're giving out cash.
Nice.
Yeah.
How much?
So I got something from a very good business associate of mine saying yesterday, have you seen this GFFG or whatever it is? And I said, no. And it was kind of weird because I hadn't heard from this guy in about a year. And I used to do business with him. And I was like, no. And he's like, you need to look it up. I got $150,000 from small business, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, you know, and then I got another message. Did you reach out to this guy? And I said, dude. Yeah. And it was through Messenger. I'm always a little weary.
Messenger's
I'm a little weary when people have my phone number and they're sending me Messenger stuff through Facebook. I'm like, just text me. And you know I'm going to see that because I don't always go to Messenger. There's a million different things I have to check every single day to find out who's trying to get in touch with me. I'm like, you got my phone number. Call me or text me.
You should hire a person to go through your stuff.
I would if I could afford it. So anyway, so he sends me the link to this guy. Mm. And it's a governmental agency, da-da-da-da-da, picture of it. And so I click on it, goes, and let me check to see if your name is still in the registrar's blah, 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 blah. It was all caps. I was like, okay, this does. So I reached back out by this guy and I said, call me. I said, I want to talk to you before I do anything because something's not right here. And they come to find out that it's a big scam. They ask you for your mother's maiden name and all this other crap. And then he called me up. He goes, no, it wasn't me, blah, 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 blah. But I reached out. I called him.
Yes.
You know, and it was nice to actually speak with him on the phone. Texting is not, texting was not created in response to picking up the phone and calling people. It was a quick way of getting in touch with somebody without having to have the pleasantries.
Yes.
And I ain't got time for a 10-minute phone call with you right now. Hey, are we still on for lunch?
Yes.
Well, it's a quick little in and out. You see it immediately. You don't have to pick up the phone and wait for it to ring, all those things. That's what it is. And unfortunately, it has replaced a lot of just picking up the phone and calling people. I did it with you. I did it yesterday with you. I'm like, I'm not texting you anymore. I'm not going to text you a full page of shit. I'll just pick up the phone. Now, you never answer your phone, but you're going to get my voicemail. So yeah. I'm like, I'm not, you know, I was driving. I'm like, I'm not texting. I'm you know, I had a textless day. I was textless in Birmingham.
That's good.
Because I got, and the other thing about texting is, again, you don't know where the, you don't know where the accentuations of the particular.
Oh, argument. It is a huge.
I'm.
So
I'm,
you know where it's a problem.
I'm a good morning guy.
Yes.
I'm a hey, how you doing? I don't like when it's 7:30 in the morning and I get, did you do this? Da da da. And I'm like, dude, it's 7:30 in the morning. The best you can do is go hey or good morning.
Well, that's why I send
or
you
how
emoji,
you doing?
Because yeah. I tend to by 7:30 in the morning. Yeah. I'm already going.
Yeah.
So you know where it's also a problem. You know where this is a problem at workplace. I see this all the time in Slack or other sorts of work-related communication chains, right?
Yeah,
internal.
Slack, yeah.
Well, Slack or Teams or whatever.
Everyone I know that's been on Slack loves it when they first get on it, and then they hate it.
Yeah.
They're like, do this thing, Slack, it's great. And then, like, about a week later, they're like, I hate Slack.
Well, it depends. I think it depends on your age
or
and
they
your
have
occupation.
To be on Slack.
Well, it's your age and your occupation.
Yeah.
But one of the issues that's happening in Slack or other these internal communications, and it's all the same shit. It's the same problem we're having in text. Some of my clients, I'm having to advise on, don't put that in a Slack message, particularly a public one. And it's not nasty stuff. You know, it's not like they're cursing someone out, but they're calling attention to a mistake that was made. They're trying to explain why they're disappointed in the person or whatever those things are. And I'm like, look, your words that you wrote there are perfect.
Yeah.
It's use it as a script. Pick up the phone and then read everything that you wrote because it's so personal that when you put it into a word form, it loses not only its relevance, it seems strange.
Yeah.
It's too invasive.
Yeah.
It's too invasive. Like, somebody needs to hear you pause. You need to be able to control the tenor of it.
Yeah.
But it's a huge problem. People don't think twice about it. It's why we see all the time, whether it's text, whether it's email, whether it's Slack, whatever, we see these communications and we make assumptions about them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it gets us into huge problems.
Yeah. Maybe social media too. We'll talk about this on Fox 6 this morning at 9:35. And thanks for watching us here on Facebook on the Tony Curry page. Dr. Josh Claypool. I'm Tony Curry, the Curry and Claypool Show. By the way, you can hear all of our shows on. We'll post them on social media and
they'll
also
be all there, yes.
Spotify.
Those are relevant.
Go to Spotify.
Those are important.
They're very important. Go to Spotify. Search Tony Curry Radio. It's Curry with a K. Search Tony Curry Radio, Curry and Claypool Show. You can listen to all of our past episodes. There's thousands of them up there. You can also, of course, download the Tony Curry Radio app and hear our show live. Maybe, like, when you have... Social media is great for business.
It's fantastic.
If you're not using social media for business, you're really missing out. Because even if it hits one person, that one person can be buying your product.
Absolutely.
You have to get it out there. But you also need to sprinkle some of your personal stuff in.
Yes.
I had an interesting conversation with an anchor for a local television station recently. She's very attractive. She does a great job. And she said, you have X amount of followers. I'm trying to build my following. Why can't I get more people to follow?
Because you don't put antlers on
your head. How about that? I said, but I did not post that.
Oh, that's right. You said that to me.
I said that
to
you.
You should have posted that. That would have got 1,000 views.
Found an antler in my backyard on my back deck, which meant I had a deer out there.
But
I said, the problem is you're only posting stuff that I can already see on the news.
That's exactly.
So you're posting the homicide or the car wreck
and
or the
right.
weather. I said, post something about you. Post
right.
something that you're into. People, social media was created so you could follow celebrities. It was,
yes.
it was a celebrity thing. Oh my gosh, Matthew McConaughey, look, he's having spaghetti and meatballs at his Aspen Lodge. That is really cool because it opened a door to their lives.
There you go.
That's what social media was created for. And then, of course, everyone came on board. And so I said, post something personal. Maybe you put an emoji on your face, or maybe you're out cutting the grass, or maybe you're out with your, well, I don't want to be posted. Well, then that's what people are looking for on social media. Said?
See, but you see the difference?
That's I'm not saying I do no, that, but she's asking how to get more
but
followers.
But that's where this gets complicated. It's where it gets complicated. Because you just said how, like, why would you just post a picture of you cutting the grass? Well, if you're a public figure.
Yeah, I know why people would want to see her cutting grass. I'll tell you that.
Who? Her?
Yeah.
Oh. But if you're a public figure, you're already there. You already have a persona. And you don't have to be on TV. Yeah. This is really interesting because you're a businessman. I have clients who are CEOs of companies who they just do their job. Like they're doing their job. They're not trying to be on TV. They're not trying to get all the interviews. But one of the things that they are being asked to do by their marketing teams, again, these are not people who are on TV all the time. And they're not necessarily publicly traded companies, but they're large companies. Their PR teams and their marketing teams, you need to go out on Twitter. You need to go out on social media platforms. Yep. Not all the time. You need to make non-controversial statements, but you also need to make some statements that have some personal relevance. Mm-hmm. Some. At some level.
Yep.
Why? Because people only know you as the CEO of this company.
Yep.
And a lot of CEOs that I work with will say, well, isn't that good enough? No.
No.
Because you have a public persona. People have assumptions about it, and people are already saturated on that. They want to know what you ate for dinner.
Well, and we'll use Sammy Hagar as an example.
Yeah, I told you.
Sammy Hagar, it's important that you're posting both.
And yes.
And it's not a bad idea to put it on the same
profile.
Because if you have Josh Klapo, clinical psychologist, and Josh Klapo personal, people may not be following both. And then it's separate. If you have a social media platform where you're a musician and you're only posting your new single, or you're only posting your concert, or you're only posting music news, it's great. But when Sammy's posting pictures with his brother or his grandma or his mother, or he's out on a boat, that's what people want to see, because they want to see the personal. They want to see the personal side of that individual. I already know about your music.
But
I already
know what
you're releasing.
It's interesting. It's related. I know we're out of time. It's related, but it's a little bit different. So think about, circle all the way back to what we're talking about. Why are people posting pictures on Facebook of, like, their dinner, right? We're like, well, on the one hand, you can say, look, you're not a public figure. Nobody cares about your dinner.
Yeah.
But you also could say, on the other hand, there are people in your life who don't know what you ate for dinner. And it may make them interested to know that you had lasagna. Like, you know what I mean? Like, on the same way that we can say there's absolutely no reason, unless you're a public figure, for posting, you know, sort of daily events. On the other hand, you can say, well, look, the people in my circle may want to know what I do. They may not know that I make a great lasagna.
Yeah.
Mike Dubberly. Well, see, but he doesn't count because he's a public figure.
And you have a lot of people out there that, for whatever reason, are into that.
Yeah. They're into it. Well, that's the other thing about social media.
Like,
there is
like
a place for
about. They have to comment about you posting a picture of your lasagna because they're like, oh,
look at
because,
that.
Because they're so, their life is so damn boring.
No,
because
they like tomatoes. They're like, look at that. Did you do that? Were those diced?
You know the people I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know.
The
now there
don't
are
like
those
a picture of food just because they want to be part of whatever it is.
Well,
and much like this, and we talk about using the platform as a business. Maybe that's what a lot of people who aren't using platforms as business, which is 90% of people out there. Maybe that's their way of, they were the extroverts 10, 20, 50 years ago, and they had a group of people, and they're great networkers, and this is their way of making their life business part of.
Yes. Life is a business.
Get out and shake some hands, kiss some babies, and say hi to them.
Because COVID's over.
Exactly. We'll be on Fox 6 in about 30 minutes. I do want to mention this. I think it's pretty interesting. A recent study polling 7,400 vegans and vegetarians.
That's interesting.
Now, vegans, they don't do dairy. What do vegetarians do that vegans don't?
Dairy,
cheese,
eggs, those
eggs like that.
My wife's vegan now, so she
from around the world. Is she really?
Yeah.
When did that start?
She's never liked meat ever. Like, just as a, she doesn't like meat, so she kind of went the vegetarian route. And then she became a vegan for...
Now, did she say, today I'm going vegan, or was it something that was just a gradual...
It was gradual.
She realized she wasn't eating meat? She's like, yeah.
Yeah, that's
it. Is she a self-proclaimed vegetarian, or is she a vegetarian? Does she say, I'm a vegetarian?
No.
Or is she just so happen not eating meat?
Well, now she's vegan. I mean, I think the only difference now that she has sort of fully embraced it, is like when we go out to a restaurant,
yeah.
We do need to go to some place where there's something for her to eat.
Oh. What does that tell you?
Nothing. Well, that's the other thing. Most restaurants, let me tell you, dude, most restaurants now, they're no dummies.
7,400 vegans and vegetarians from around the world found that more than half of vegans, 52%, and 40% of vegetarians won't even consider...
That makes sense.
It does make sense, doesn't it?
The vegan and vegetarian, yeah.
Because vegans are so much different than vegetarians.
Yeah, vegan is... It's like Orthodox Jew. It's like Catholic versus Episcopalian. I mean, I know it's not, but that's what it is.
Won't even consider going out or having a relationship with a meat eater.
Well, go ahead. I'm going to tell you why that's
roughly
bullshit.
1 in 8 vegans... This is interesting. 12% won't even consider dating a vegetarian.
Yeah, that's bullshit. I'm going to tell you why it's B. Keep going.
The study was conducted by Vaguely, a popular global vegan and vegetarian dating app. Presumably filled with more peach and eggplant emojis than Tinder. For many vegans, their vegetarianism in a way is so understandable that it wouldn't want to be with a partner that consumes animals or an animal products. Many vegans want to be with someone who shares their values and love of animals. Now, I know a lot of people that won't eat meat because they love animals, but the majority of them, I'd say 80% of them, are eating it because it's a healthier lifestyle. It's nothing against eating chickens or cows.
Right, which you could understand.
But they're not PETA people.
Could you understand that? Could you say, I'm a vegan because I don't believe... You know, I don't believe in killing animals.
Yeah.
And I don't, and because of that, if you eat meat, you believe in killing animals, and that's just not something I can do. I can understand that.
Vegans, of course, exclude any animal products, including eggs, butter, and cheese. A vegan lifestyle can even go further by avoiding all forms of exploitation of and cruelty to animals for food, clothing, or any other purpose.
Yep.
Good luck. According to the Vegan Society. As the number of people who change their orders from meat lovers to veggie lovers grows, the economists claim veganism was surging back in 2020. So does the number of people looking for someone to share their salad and ethics with.
Salad and ethics. That's great. No, so listen. Here's where I call BS on it. For some people, it is fine to say, here's what I would do. I would never date a person who was. I get it. I would never marry a person who was.
Yeah.
Until you meet that person.
Yeah.
Now, I have seen, particularly on the religious side, and I don't know so much on vegans, but I have friends who fell in love with somebody of a different religion, and they couldn't do it.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, their religious belief was...
They couldn't do it. They weren't allowed to do it, in other words. According to their religion, they weren't allowed to.
Yeah, well, and then personally, they forwent the love of their life for the sake of their religion. That happens.
It does. It's rare.
It's rare. It does.
I mean, this is the Hatfield McCoy's daughter dating a son, or this is a Republican dating a Democrat, or this is an Auburn fan dating
But when you move... Okay, but that's bullshit. When you move to religion...
Well, that's a religion for a lot of people now.
No, but that's what I'm... But it's
I mean,
not.
I know guys that are Alabama fans that will not date an Auburn girl. Yeah. I think you're crazy.
Well, they're stupid. That's not true until they meet one.
Yeah.
See, I don't buy it.
Yeah.
Particularly a guy. A guy who meets a woman who they get along, he's attracted to her, they're compatible, everything's great. Everything's great. And he's fallen for her. And she says, well, this is I'm an Auburn fan.
Yeah.
He's out? No. No.
Let me ask you this. Is there a difference between not wanting to date someone because of a choice they've made or because of something they're born with?
What do you mean?
I won't date a white person.
Oh.
No, I can't change that. But I ain't going to date a meat lover. Well, it's a choice. You can choose
not... What about
not,
religion? That's an interesting one.
You can change religions.
Yeah.
But you can be born into a Baptist or a Catholic
that's what I'm
or
saying,
whatever. And that's really, for a lot of people, that's not really a choice. That's who I am. That's something I practiced my entire life.
But you're
if I was dating a woman who I was falling in love with,
yeah,
that would be one of those third or fourth date conversations you'd have.
We always talk about
it. I'm sorry, I will not marry a Catholic. Or I would not.
Yeah.
Or I would not. I wouldn't date an atheist. What are you going to do if you start dating somebody and you start getting serious and you're like, hey, you want to go to church with me? I don't go to church. Yeah. Why? I'm an atheist.
Yeah. Ooh. Well, it's a conversation. Look, I'm married to an Episcopalian who is Catholic.
That's a much more. Oh, and remind me to ask that question. I left you a voicemail the other night about.
I know we got a huge discussion.
You did?
Jules and I had a thing about that.
You want to get into it?
No, just because neither of us are educated enough. We need
a priest in here.
Yeah, we need a priest. We probably need a few different priests.
We
probably need a Catholic priest, Episcopalian, and we need like a Protestant minister.
A rabbi?
We need a rabbi because that whole conversation about Jesus being the king of the Jews kind of thing is the hardest thing about those conversations for all of us, unless you're a theologian who understands and has a degree in the history, what screws us all up, all of us regular people, who are not religious historians, is time and interpretation. Because that's where I get messed up all the time. Was this before? Was this after? At what point in time had the Gospels been written?
It was really bizarre because I know around Christmas, you're not supposed to say Merry Christmas anymore. I say Merry Christmas, but I'll say Happy Hanukkah, whatever.
That's great.
And if I say Merry Christmas to somebody and they don't say Merry Christmas back, I assume they're Jewish.
Or
they're in a really bad mood. But Passover and Easter are kind of one and the same. And so when I say Happy Easter to somebody, or did you have a nice Easter, and they don't respond the way I think they're, I'm like, did I just say something that, you know, and so, and it happened a lot this past weekend. It was kind of weird. So for some reason, I don't know what the deal was. I ended up going to church three different times. I went to a Saturday night mass where they had the fire outside and we walked in with the candles. It was dark. It was beautiful. And then I went to church again on Sunday twice. I was driven to go.
It's okay.
It was Easter weekend.
Yes, it's okay.
It's the biggest day of the year for
no
Christians.
Problem.
And so then I started watching some documentaries. Mm-hmm. The History Channel had Jesus My Life, which was wonderful. Even if you're an atheist, it's an incredible story. It was wonderful to watch. It was beautiful. And so I'm still having a hard time getting past the idea that Jesus was the king of the Jews. Yet Jewish people believe Jesus existed, but don't believe that he's the chosen one of the Messiah. And I'm like, wait a minute. And so I can't get, and it's been explained to me three or four or five different times.
I'm with you, and I'm the Jew.
And so when the people were out there, and Pontius Pilate was saying, I don't see any guilt in this man, and they're like, crucify him, crucify him. All I heard was, he's not our king, we have a king. That big king of the Romans. And so I'm like, is that why they could not get past the idea that Jesus could be the king of the Jews because they already had their king? Is that why? But then I thought to myself, okay, knowing what we know now in this world, some 2,000 years later, why don't Jewish people as a whole still believe that Jesus is the Messiah?
Because when you get to that point,
that's the confusing part.
Well, it's the first, right? And that's
I'm not a theologian.
No, that's why you need a theologian and a historian, because when
we should get into that.
When you get to the place, this is where Jules, when you get to that place where he was or wasn't, because there's different writings about it depending on, you know, I gotta be careful because I know. So I've been taught that Jesus, from a Jewish perspective, Jesus was seen as one of many messiahs.
Yeah.
Okay. One of many leaders, etc. The part where I think I can say this, where you go on belief, and there's nothing wrong with belief.
Yeah.
Jews do not believe that Jesus is the physical embodiment of God, and that he rose from the dead.
Yeah.
We don't believe that.
Yeah.
Here's where I'm going to gotta be careful. You do.
Yeah.
Great. But there's a difference. I mean, this is where we get into trouble. Neither of us, I had this conversation with a good friend of ours a long time ago, Mark Prater. You don't know that he did. I don't know that he didn't. You believe that he did. I believe that he didn't.
Yeah.
And the conversation I had with Mark Prager years ago was, because we're friends and he's Baptist, he said, I guess when we both get up there,
you'll find out.
At the gates, we're going to ask. Yeah. And we made a bet. We said, whoever wins, buy each other guy a beer. But I think that's the, like, think about it. We have entire civilizations over war that, who knows?
Yeah.
But I think the part that's hard to grasp is the timing of how he was seen. Because all this stuff was written. That's why you need a historian. The dates, it's not like 1986 and then he was crucified in 87 and he rose on the Easter of 87 and then in 88 all this weird stuff. And that's where I need to learn when I have these conversations with my wife, shut up. A, because Julie is smarter than me.
Yeah.
B, because as we're talking, she's doing the research.
No, but I think it's fun to talk about.
It's very fun.
It's not a debate. It's interesting to talk about because, again, we're going off the Old and the New Testament.
That was the other thing.
It was written thousands of years ago, and at the same time, it was written by many, many different people. There are many different interpretations of that, and I know Christians are like, there's one interpretation, that's fine. You believe that? And I also understand that some people, like, if you read a book and I read a book, we may have different interpretations of that. If you read a Harry Potter book and I read a Harry Potter book, that's why we watch the movie. And that's why movies aren't as good as the book, because it's never interpreted the way we interpreted the story as itself. So, no, I think it's by far the most amazing story in the history of the world. And there are a lot of holes and a lot of gaps in a lot of those things.
And we like to fill the gaps.
It's interesting. It's interesting, though, to see. And I know there's been Passion of the Christ. There's been a million movies made about the life of Jesus Christ. And to see this Jesus, his life, to see this 32, 33-year-old man, because I know what we're like now as men.
Right.
And the funny part is what a lot of people didn't realize was, you know, he had his disciples. Well, a lot of his disciples were women. Mm-hmm. And I see this hairy, good-looking guy.
Because
sitting outside a shore with a bunch of dudes and a bunch of good-looking women, and he's sharing his knowledge.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, you. And there was a whole Mary Magdalene thing. Mm-hmm. We don't know what happened there. And I'm like, come on.
Dude,
man.
Spiciness.
And I mean, I had some thoughts coming to my head. I was like,
No. Listen. Josiah Rangers teaches this. I know Scott Hausman Weiss, my rabbi, taught us. Whole teachings on intimacy, sex, the soap opera that is the Bible.
Yeah.
Dude, there's some... And then if you take the story of, like, it was Moses, he's 120, and he had 5,000 kids, and like, oh my God!
Yeah, it's good.
Just
to see it visually, though, I'm sitting there and...
Oh, yeah! It was some nasty, and there was prostitutes.
Yeah.
And I mean, the whole thing, and that's, you know, and to me, that is why, I can't believe I only do this when I'm on with you. That is why, stop passing judgment on people.
Yeah.
Because, my God, you think
people believe what they want to believe.
Well, that's the thing. You think that the Bible's, like, clean?
Yeah.
You think the Quran is clean? It's not clean. It's the story of our lives. And the story of our lives are nasty and messy. And
12 apostles weren't vegans, I'll tell you that much.
No.
Although some of the women probably were.
Yeah.
It was great. There was one scene where he's talking
about... Stop. We're about to
He's talking about planting the seed of
life?
Yeah, about planting... planting the seeds and then the seeds, some of the seeds falling off into the unfertile soil. And he's talking... I get to see some dude at college... trying to pull the shit off and trying to be a prophet, you know, trying to proclaim the Lord Jesus as a savior and going, I got the story. And there's these women sitting around and they're all like, and you got this vibrant charisma and obviously Jesus had them. People are like, they wanted to, they're waiting on every word. And then Mary Magdalene going, well, Jesus, why don't you further explain what you mean by that? And they're all licking their lips. And I'm like, oh, dude. I can see some dude at the University of Alabama trying to pull this over, and this doesn't work. But you know, it's a funny thing, and then we got to go to 5-6. We have had hundreds of men in my lifetime proclaim that they were the second coming or the next coming, that started these cults.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And proclaiming they were it. The Lord Jesus Christ. They were it. They were the next. And people believed them. And yeah. Look at them going, you idiot.
Right.
Put your Nikes on. You're going to the spaceship. You're fixing to commit suicide later today at noon. And it's like, and those same people, whether you believe it or not, did the same thing.
Yes. They thought they were crazy.
And we think they're crazy now. Now, we're talking about cult leaders that have stockpiles of AR-15s.
Well, you don't know. Jesus could have had stones or something. I mean, like, I don't know.
And they're sleeping with everyone's wife. By the way, if you're part of my cult, I get to sleep with your wife, and they're molesting children. I mean, it's like, not, and Jesus didn't do that, but it's interesting because we look at that now, we're like, wow, that is a huge leap of faith. All right. Talk about one of our great clients, and then we'll get into somehow we got from social media into...
It's time to call John Gray, not only because your finances need good management, because sometimes you just need grounding. John Gray at DriscollGray.com is a financial advisor who works with people all over the country, and he's there to help you manage your life money, not just your investments, your life money. And that is so important because it's not just about how much you're investing or how much you're saving or what your taxes are. It's the whole picture. And John is really good at that. He will help you figure out, what am I going to do this year, next year, 5 years from now? Call him today. His webpage is DriscollGray.com. He's got great market insights, and he's just a good guy. And by the way, if you're watching us from literally anywhere in the U.S., he works with clients all over the United States, so you don't just have to be local. He's knowledgeable about different financial laws, tax laws, etc. He'll work with your accountants. If you don't work with Driscoll Gray and their accountancy, he'll work with other accountants. Again, his name is John Gray, DriscollGray.com.
Come see us later on tonight. We're going to be at Work Play, Remembering the Life of Fred Foster. Tommy Williams will be down there. Ed will be down there. And we'll have some special guests while the Magic City disco dancers will be there. We're going to have Cash Back doing live entertainment. Eric Waters will be doing live entertainment. No cover tonight. Doors open at 4:30. Bar opens at 4:30. Music starts at 6. Should be a wonderful night of drinking, dancing, and life celebration of Fred Foster later on tonight at Work Play. We'll see you down there. Should be a great night. Even if you didn't know Fred Foster, it's going to be a hell of a great party, so come check us out. All right, we'll be on Fox 6 in about 20 minutes. Thanks for watching here on the Tony Curry Facebook page. Download the Tony Curry Radio app. We got a ton of downloads yesterday. It was weird. And got a great message on Facebook from a Ukrainian soldier who was in his tank listening to Tony Curry Radio.
That's amazing.
The app works in Ukrainian tanks.
During
like,
war.
Dude, man up. Guns up, dude. I mean, protect yourself. So, yeah. So, our thoughts and prayers continue to go out for the Ukrainians who are fighting their battle. Have yourself a wonderful afternoon. Thanks for watching this morning.